And Boker Tov to Rabbi Galperin.
Morning, Ilan.
Good morning, how are you?
Thank God, and how are you?
Very good.
That's good.
So, Parshat Lech Lecha.
That's right. You know, it's a fascinating, I was thinking about it, and you go and look at, you know, you look. Let's take from the beginning, you have Bereshit, talks about the creation of the world, and then Noah, okay, he tried to kill the world, and then Vayera, the next one, afterwards, next week, in other words, you talk about the sacrifices, and then of Isaac, and we talk about the Sarah's life. Very, very beautiful story. But if you think about it, this week's Torah portion, Lech Lecha, really, really talks to us as human beings, as people who we are. You know, God speaks to Abram and he tells him, go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house, from the land, to the land to where which I will show you.
That means leave everything that you know.
That's right. All your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Your birthplace, you know, where you're happy, how you feel comfortable. And, you know, obviously there's a famine that makes forced all the Jews to go down to Egypt. And so on and so forth. But if you think about this, this concept of Lech Lecha, of going out, I think really, really created Jewish faith and Jewish existence. Because if we think about it, how did the Jewish faith come into existence? You know, the Medrash, the explanations describe the birth of Judaism with the following parable. And he brings down, like it says, God said to Abraham, go from your land, your birthplace, and your father's house. To what may be this compared? What does this symbolize in a human life?
Mm-hmm.
To a man who is traveling from place to place, and, you know, he sees a palace in flames, and he wonders, is it possible that the palace has no owner? The owner of the palace, you know, why isn't he putting it out? And the owner of the palace looks out and says, I am the owner of the palace. So Abraham, our father, says, is it possible that the world lacks a ruler? And God looks out and says to him, I am the ruler, the sovereign of the whole universe. Now let's look at this for a second. Abraham's bewilderment is very clear. This sensitive human being gazes at a brilliantly structured universe, a splendid piece of art, and he's overwhelmed by the by the sunset, by the miracles of childbirth. He marvels at the roaring ocean's waves and at the silent, steady beat, you know, for example, of the human heart. The world, really, if we think about it, is indeed really a palace. But the palace is in flames. The world is full of bloodshed, injustice, thugs, you know, abusers, kidnappers, killers, are continuously demolishing the palace, turning our world into an ugly, tragic battlefield of untold pain and horror. And what happened to the owner of the palace? Abram cries, why does God allow man to destroy his world? Why does he permit such a beautiful palace to go up in flames? In other words, the world. Could God have made a world only to abandon it? Would anyone build a palace and then desert it? Doesn't make sense. And what is the meaning of God's response? And what do we see from this? The Medrash says, the owner of the palace looked out and said, I am the owner of the palace. God looked out and said to Abraham, I am the ruler, the sovereign of the earth. What does that mean? What is God's response? So now let's just look for a second. We have to note that the owner of the palace does not make any attempt to get out of the burning building or to extinguish the flame. He is merely stating that he is the owner of the palace, that he that is going up in smoke. And it is really as if, instead of racing out, the owner really is really calling for help. God made the palace. Man set it on fire. And only man can put out the flame. And Abraham asks God, where are you? And God replies, I'm here. Where are you? Man asks God, why did you abandon the world? God asks man in return, why did you abandon me? And thus, I think, really began the revolution of Judaism. Humanity's courageous venture to extinguish the flames of immorality and bloodshed and restore the world to the harmonious and sacred palace it was intended to be. And this was Abraham. Abraham's encounter with God in the presence of a burning palace gave birth to the mission statement of Judaism, to be obsessed with good and horrified by evil. And sometimes we need to be able to leave our comfort zone, our dwelling places. You know, sometimes you go and look, for example, a child, everything is made for him. His decisions are made for him by his parents, hopefully in the good decisions. His surroundings, where he goes, what school he goes to. He doesn't necessarily have that much choice to be able to figure out how later on you hope he does, but not at that period of time. And some of us can't leave our birthplace, can't leave our culture, our ideas that we were brought up at home or whatever it may be that we see in the world. Sometimes we need to leave that, as hard as it may be, to be able to connect to Hashem. And when we say leave, it does not mean physically you need to run away from your house. You need to run away from your wife. You need to run away from your parents. That's not what he's saying. He's saying from a spiritual perspective, sometimes we need to let loose, get rid of everything in the world and reconnect with our inner soul, reconnect with who we really are supposed to be. And then we realize that it's not God who is allowing the flames to keep on going. It's we who are abandoning God and not putting out the flames. And that's where I think is something so important that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. You know, last night I was at the University of Windsor. We brought out a person to do a presentation.
A speaker.
His name is Ishmael Kahaladi. He is a Bedouin. He's a third of 11 children. He lived in a Bedouin tent until he was age 8. You know, he told us he walked for 6 miles round trip to his tent school and he tended flocks of sheep.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's an Arab. He's a Muslim. But he really has big connection ties to Jewish neighbors, so on and so forth. He's the first diplomat.
First Bedouin diplomat.
Diplomat, correct. He started working for the Israeli foreign ministry in 2004. And then he was sent around to different places, to San Francisco, to serve as a diplomat and many other places. It's very, very interesting. And people obviously did not necessarily view what he thought or what he believed in. There was a protest that was put in, a walkout, where supposedly 300 people that were against him,
mm-hmm.
Arabs, Muslims, who were going to walk out. But, you know, Canada is a free country.
Yeah.
We allowed them to come in and sit as long as they were going to be peaceful. They decided not to be peaceful, so we asked them to leave. And we waited and we continued speaking afterwards. And the questions that were coming out afterwards were phenomenal, amazing questions. And I encourage people, you know, he was a person, for example, that really fits into this week's Torah portion. He's leaving his home, he's leaving his comfort zone, and he's going into something that is a world unknown.
Yeah.
People that don't necessarily like him.
But that's his belief.
But he believes that. He's spreading out the message, what he truly believes, and I think it's something that we can, as human beings and as Jews, take upon ourselves, especially in this type of world that we live in and in this time. So I want to wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful Shabbat, especially in Israel, that God should grant them only peace and security. And we do our part from this side. You know, we can't go there and fight because we're here, but we can fight spiritually, whether it be praying, saying psalms, and having all those people that were injured and killed in mind. So God should grant them peace and security.
God willing. Rabbi, I wanted to ask you about the services.
Services are this week, 6:15 in the evening, and Shabbat morning is 9:30. And, you know, obviously we have the minions in the morning, 7:15 at the Paratas. So I invite everyone to come to the community minion.
Thank you again. And I hope to talk with you next week.
We will. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.